Welcome to the Scriptures and Sermon podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada, for Sunday, April 21st, 2024, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that you will feel God's presence wherever you are.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life, given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading for this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the Son that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Our responsive psalm is the 23rd psalm, and you'll see it on the screen. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long."
And our next reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ, of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us." Our hymn is hymn 256, "Now the Green Blade Riseth."
Thank you.
just to put a finer point on a debate from earlier this morning, you will note J-E-S-U-S apostrophe in the hymn pronounced Jesus with no usus. Just saying. There was a long and protracted discussion in the choir room before church this morning about the pronunciation of the possessive of Jesus' name. Friends, listen now for the gospel of John's reading from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. For there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down and have power to take it up again. I have received this command from the Father." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Sufficient. Language is a funny thing. As a preacher, I'm acutely aware of the weight of and the significance of words. Words have power. Power to convey meaning. Power to build up. Power to tear down. And the entire message that one is attempting to convey can be completely negated by a poorly chosen word. As I was preparing for this moment and meditating upon the scriptures that you've just heard read, I arrived at the word sufficient for this week's sermon title. And I'm going to stand by it. I really do. But the more I worked with it, the more I thought, well, sometimes sufficient doesn't mean sufficient. Or sometimes sufficient means something completely different, doesn't it? The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines sufficient as enough to meet the needs of a situation. Enough to meet the needs of a situation. And certainly that's a perfectly fine definition of the word sufficient, isn't it? Even today's reading from Psalm 23 speaks of the sufficiency of God. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He is sufficient. Indeed, that line is the inspiration for why I chose the sermon title. And yet, using the word sufficient almost seems insufficient, doesn't it? I suppose it's really a matter of degree. Often I think when we speak about having enough of something to complete a particular task, we look at things in terms of having just enough to get by. Right? Have to do a little patchwork on some paint around the house. You go down, you open up the can from when you painted the room, and you look in and you go, "I think I have enough to do what I need to do. That will be sufficient." But as people of faith, we know that that is not what we mean when we speak of the sufficiency of God, is it? When we speak of the sufficiency of God, we have a completely different understanding of the word sufficient. We do not look to God for the bare minimums to get us by, do we? But rather we look to Scripture in which the promise is made that God gives blessing in excess. God blesses us with abundance enough to enjoy for ourselves and to spare so that we can share it with others. To believe in a sufficient God is to have faith in one who blesses us with blessings that are beyond all of our measures. God is sufficient. And in that case, we mean that we need absolutely nothing else. God is all in all. That is the sort of blessing that the author of Psalm 23 has in mind as he writes those words. He writes about green pastures and still waters, of deliverance from darkened valleys heavy with fear of evil, and of a meal that is set before one's enemies. Not a happy meal with cheeseburgers and a side of fries. That would be enough. That would be sufficient, wouldn't it? But that's not what the psalmist says. The psalmist says it's a meal where he will be welcomed and he will be anointed with oil, and the cup of wine that is placed on the table before him will be filled so full that it spills over the sides and runs down onto the tablecloth. The cup runs over with God's blessings because God is sufficient like that. Psalm 23 is one of those great psalms of faith, right? It speaks to the hearts of people in a way that is incomparable. People who have nothing to do with the church know Psalm 23. It describes a God who doesn't just bless us with the bare essentials, those things that we're going to need to get by, but with the abundance of those things that really matter and enough to spare, a God who blesses us in ways that we can't imagine. What a wonderful God it is that we place our trust in him. And yet, as always, the questions that arise is, how do we use the blessings that God has given us? While the promise of the psalm is verdant pastures beside cooling waters, we hear in the news each week of the degradation of the creation, of the earth in which we live. How green grass is failing to grow because of drought. And streams are being polluted with microplastics and forever chemicals, or rendered undrinkable by algae blooms. And that's just here. Forget things that are happening around the world. This past week, if you were following the news, as I did, I happened upon a story about efforts to conserve water across southern Alberta, from Red Deer on down, so the entire half of the province of Alberta. Rebecca Schultz, who is Alberta's Minister of Environment, noted that this is the largest water-sharing agreement in Alberta's history, the aim of which is to save 10% of the water that is currently being used. These agreements have been enacted because of the increasing risk of drought across the Canadian prairies. And while the press release from the Alberta government did not mention climate change, it didn't, the reality is that that's what lies behind the drought. In every page of the document, it was addressing the reality of a climate that is changing. And already this year, forest fire experts are beginning to speak of the fires that will once more ravage the forests of our country again. Up and down the east coast of this country in the United States, the Atlantic shrimp fishery is closing due to the warming of the Atlantic Ocean. And regardless of what half of the political spectrum wants to say, Axe the Tax is an effective political tool, but it's death for a country, an economy, and its citizens. Regardless of how provincial governments choose to frame this discussion, climate change is an unavoidable reality and its consequences will be devastating, and it will be devastating for everyone. Imagine. A couple of weeks ago, Deloitte and Touche, released a study on the economics of the oil industry in the next 5 to 10 years. And they predicted a crisis in the oil industry because they will lack the water that the oil industry needs to move the oil and do the refining process because of the droughts that will become a reality. And so if you think carbon taxes are expensive, imagine how expensive it will be when the oil companies have to truck the water to do the refining. These are the issues of our age. When I came here, and when I came here 3 years ago, and man, some days it feels like 3 years ago. Some days it feels like I've been here forever. That's just how the last few years have been. But when I came here a while ago, I noted that one of the things that I think had to be the priority of any church as we moved forward from 2019 onward had to be how we dealt with the environment and the climate. I'm still convinced that that's the case. I hope you are too. But from a theological perspective, forget the political, forget the practical. From a theological perspective, it seems to me that what we see all around us in these stories that we read in the newspapers is nothing less than the denial of the benevolence of our God. The God who provides us with all that we need and more, right? We've established already that when we say sufficient God, we just don't mean we're going to get by. But we mean that God will be our all in all, and God will provide us with the richness of life. But we take it for granted, and we treat it as if it is not important. We treat it as if it is not a blessing. And so as we come once more to another Earth Day and we see the words just pass before us on a calendar like all the other days that are noted on the calendar that we just kind of, oh yeah, today's World Laundry Day. That was Monday, by the way. I reminded Colleen as she was doing the laundry. It was World Laundry Day. But these things we need to pay attention to. And as Christians, we need to respond to. Because, as I mentioned, the examples I gave are just a few. And they're just us. They're totally selfish. It does not take into account droughts that are occurring around the world or flooding that is happening here and there. If you saw the pictures of the jet planes floating in the jet fighters floating in the underground hangars in Dubai, floating. because they had had so much rain in Dubai that the underground bunkers where the fighter jets are kept were completely flooded. This is the world in which we live. And it is the world, to some extent, that we have made. And it is the world that God calls us to care for. The first command in Scripture is to care for creation. That God has made us stewards of the beauty and the wonder that God has made. So as we turn toward another Earth Day tomorrow, and think about what that means. And while we're more than happy to say, well, but it doesn't matter to us because, you know, there are other people in the world who are destroying the world faster than we are. Well, that is the weirdest argument in the world, is it not? We're all doing destructive things, but they're doing it worse than we are, so we're better. Or we should do nothing. It's not an excuse. We're called to be the stewards of God's creation and to care for it, to find new ways, to be innovative in what we do as a society, to be faithful in what we do as Christians, because the faithful use of God's resources in this world is a Christian calling. So as we turn that calendar tomorrow, let us be mindful. Let us become aware. Find something that you can read that continues to keep you engaged in this struggle and this fight, because it is too easy to ignore. And in all things, let us seek to give God glory and glory to God's creation, for it is a wonderful gift that God gave to us. It is good in the eyes of God, so it should be good in our eyes too. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Scriptures and Sermon Podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada. If you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe so you can get new episodes each week. Be sure to check out our website, stjohnscornwall.ca, where you can find links to our social media pages and more information on our ministry. Until next time, God bless.